It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at this same time, and we count it our privilege to spend this half hour with you. We hope that you have your Bibles now as we continue our Bible study here through the book in the Old Testament entitled The Book of Jonah, a very controversial book to some of the modernists who try to make fun and say, well, do you think that Jonah was really swallowed by the whale and so forth? While you're turning there, let me tell you what happened to one lady. A woman reading the Bible was asked if she really believed every word in it. She answered yes, and the person asked her said, well, do you really mean to believe that, tell me that you believe that Jonah was swallowed by the whale and then coughed up on an island? She said, I sure do. And he went on and said, well, can you explain how that happened? She said, well, not precisely, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah. And the person said, well, suppose Jonah isn't in heaven. She said, well, then you ask him then where you're at. Well, how true that is. Jonah is a real person. The Lord Jesus referred to him and said that there will be no sign given but the sign of Jonah, and how that Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. We're over here now to the first chapter of the book of Jonah, and we have found out that God had commissioned him in verse 1 and 2, and said, arise and go to Nineveh, a very wicked city, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now God had knew that their time was short, and he had given them and said a very short time to go. Their judgment had come up before the Lord, and he was about to render a destruction upon that great city. But prior to doing that, he said, Jonah, I want you to go there and tell those people, and if they'll change their mind, turn from their wickedness, then I'll spare that city. And we're going to find out that Jonah eventually did that, and the city was spared for another 200 years. But prior to that, God had problems with his servant to getting his servant to obey what he had told him to do. And then we find in verse 3, but Jonah, as we have pointed out so many Christians, when the Lord has commissioned them to do something, but if you maybe are a Christian and you know that you have a beautiful voice, you could sing in the choir and help your church out, but you have all kind of excuses why that you cannot do it. It takes too much of your time. Well, you feel that if you come to church on Sunday morning, that's enough, and you cannot donate any more time to the Lord, but. And your life begins to be filled with buts and excuses and one thing or another, and you find out you're losing a lot of happiness in your life that you could have if you'll start putting the positive attitude in. Take the buts out and say, Lord, here I am. I'll use the talents that you've given me. And whatever it might be, maybe the Lord has enabled you to be adaptable to teach. But you know what? You'll not take the time to study and prepare your lessons on Sunday morning, and yet God has given you a talent to teach. Maybe you're one within the church that does not hold an office particularly, but maybe you have a talent for talking to people. And yet you're saying, yes, but I don't want to leave at night. I don't want to leave my home. I don't want to talk to people. And after all, I'm not going to cause any waves in the family, whether the place I work or my neighbors or anything else. But you do have a tremendous talent. You do have a gift to be able to talk to people about the Lord Jesus, maybe a talent that other people do not have. Yet your life is filled with buts. Do you know what? In the Christian life, if God's given you the talents, and he has given each one of us a talent or talents to be used for his glory, then when we get the negative buts out of our life and begin to put the positive, yes, Lord, here I am, I realize that I'm here to serve you, then you begin to find out that you're going to use your life that God has graciously given you, and you're going to find out it's going to be filled with happiness, going to be filled with joy. You're going to see precious souls come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of your testimony and your influence through the talents that God has given you to use for him. But we find out Jonah here. He said, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa. And there he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to let go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, if you'll take time to look this up on your map, it's almost hilarious to see how far that Jonah run from the Lord. When you locate Tarshish, you'll find it located on the tip end of Spain. It's where the Mediterranean Sea enters into the ocean, and it's the furthest place that you could go without jumping right into the ocean. That was it. There was no more. The very tip end there of Spain. Joppa was a seaport used by Jerusalem there, about 35 miles from Jerusalem, And you know something very interesting that a lot of people do not realize is the fact here. Isn't it funny how that Satan makes everything convenient for you as he possibly can when you're running from the Lord? And you may think, boy, everything's working out without the Lord. That's old Satan. We find out he went down. There just happened to be a ship there. There was. He happened to have the money or the fare. Everything worked out all right, it seemed like, for old Jonah. And Satan does that in your life. He'll work overtime to try to make everything fit in your life and try to make everything seemingly work out better by you not serving the Lord than when you are serving the Lord. And this is a great counterfeit that Satan does to many Christians. Maybe when you quit serving the Lord, maybe you got mad at somebody in the church, you got mad at your pastor, one thing or another, you quit serving the Lord, and maybe old Satan worked overtime. Did it seem like maybe things were just working out for you and everything? But it doesn't last, folks. That's the thing, and the thing that old Satan is so naive in. It does not last. And we find out then, after Jonah had went down there, paid the fare, sailed clear almost the length or three-quarters of the length of the Mediterranean Sea, he got right there to the ocean and went down to Tarshish. Everything seemed to work out for him. But now we're on the trip down there. In verse 4, we find out, but the Lord. Other words, God loves you so much that if you think for anything that God's going to forget you, you better stop and think again. When you're bought with a price, the Lord Jesus died for you. You're a Christian. Now, we're speaking to Christians now. He died for you. He's not going to relinquish the fact that you belong to him. You do belong to him. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The double application, first of all, is the sinner that you're cast into hell. But second, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. How wonderful that it is, but it's fearful when you're not serving him. And God here, we find out, Jonah said, but Lord, I can't do it. I'm going to run from you. There's no way in the world I'm going to do that. But then the Lord said, oh, that's what you think, Jonah. I'm not going to let you just run from me and waste your life down here on the earth. I did not put you down here just to go out here and do what you want to do. And a lot of Christians are really, really conscrewed in their thinking, well, now I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven, and that's right. Now I'm just going to do what I want to do. No, that's not grace. That's not appreciation, and God is not going to let you do that. Now you say, well, can't I go out then and do what I want to do? The answer is yes and no. Yes, you can for a season. You sure can. Until God gives you time to change your mind and to decide and weigh things out and come together and reason with him. As Isaiah said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, thou shalt be made as white as wool. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as snow. And he says, come, let us reason together. No, you can go out for a short time until the Lord says, but, John, but, Mary, but so-and-so, I'm not going to let you continue that way. I did not leave you down here just to go ahead and take your life and live it for yourself. Now, Jonah should have remembered what Psalms had to say. And take just a second and digress with me and go to Psalms chapter 139, verses 7 to 12. And let's go over here, and it's a tremendous lesson for each one of us. Where in the world can you run from the Lord? You can't. You can't. You can lock yourself in a closet. The Lord sees you. You can go to another continent. The Lord sees you. But let's go here to Psalms chapter 139, verses 7 to 12, and find out here where we're speaking about the Psalm of David here, where he praises God for his all-seeing providence. Now let's go here to verse 7. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall not, or shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Other words to God, there's no place you can go at night. God does not see you. And yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. Does it make any difference? And then he goes on to say, even before I was born, you knew everything about me. You could see inside the womb of my mother. You knew my substance was there. You knew it was being born. And even then you wrote my name in the book of life. My name was there. Notice in verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And notice here in verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book are all my members were written, which is continuance, were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Other words, when I just at conception, you knew me. You knew who I was. My name was already written in the book at conception. And I knew before your substance was even formed inside your mother's womb. Where in the world can you hide from the Lord? You cannot do it. And yet we need to realize that God, when we are saved, if God did not want you to serve him, then you find he would just take you right on to heaven. But God has left the Christian here in order to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants you with the talents you have to serve him. And he's commissioned you to do something. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, that is, announce the gospel. There are people that you're in contact with that you'll have an opportunity to witness to that myself as a pastor, I'll never have the opportunity to witness to, or neither will someone else. Yet you're in that position, and we find out from Romans 10:17 that God said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'll never forget, and you talk about things not working out. Jonah thought he'd hop that ship and get on the Mediterranean there and go on down to Tarshish, clear down there, tip into Spain, and everything would be all right. The Lord wouldn't find him. The Lord wouldn't worry about him. Everything would be all right. But that was not the case, and neither will it be the case in your life. Now, let me say this. I'll give you a classic example of something that happened in my life. After the Lord had, I knew that the Lord had called us to go into the ministry and to prepare in a Bible college there to study the Word of God and discipline ourselves to see, that was our boot camp, to see if we were going to be strong enough to make it or not, or whether we were going to get weeded out. But prior to that, we were still going to the Troy Baptist Temple, and I'll never forget, we were going in, and I made the Lord a promise, and which was a very foolish thing that I did, but I said, Lord, if I have X amount of money, I promise I will then go ahead and go to Bible college. But I cannot take my family down there without this amount of money because this is not feasible for a man to do it. Well, anyway, the next week or so, I don't know how it happened. I could explain it all, but I'm not going to. But I'll tell you this, boy, the amount of money that I told the Lord I had to have, I tell you, I went down to nothing. And there was everything I touched cost me money. And I about went bankrupt in a week and a half. And anyway, I said, Lord, I tell you what, now, this is enough of this foolishness. I'm going down to Bible college if I got a hitchhike down there. This is enough of that. Then things begin to work out. We were going into church one night, and I was trying my best to save money in order to get enough ahead there to go to Bible college. And I thought I was really, really had a burden about what to do with my tithing money. And I said, and of course, we had tithed our money in that. And I said, Lord, you know what? Now I'm getting ready to go into the ministry here and study. Now, you know, I could go a lot sooner if I just kept my tithe of money and put it back and used it for my Bible college. And it was just like the Lord said, no, that's not right. While you're here, your tithing money belongs in your local church. So anyway, we were going into church that night, and we were just having, now my wife didn't know this, she's sitting on the seat beside me there, but mentally I was just talking to the Lord, and I'd almost made up my mind, Lord, I'm not going to give my tithe of money here at Troy Baptist Temple. I'm going to keep it, lay it aside, and I'm going to use that on my school bill. So I finally come to that decision. We got about three-fourths of the way into church that night. And anyway, I heard a clangety, clangety, clang, and I pulled the car over to the side of the road. And to make a long story short, I got out, had my suit on and everything. I got out, and here my muffler and tailpipe had dropped down there at the back of the car and was dragging the ground. Well, if I just cut the muffler off, you know, and get it off, and I twisted that, just one little tiny fringe of piece of steel was holding it on, and that's all it was. And ordinarily, you could just give it a couple twists or a little kick, and off it would come. I twisted that crazy thing and bent it and did everything I could. Finally, I ended up, took my suit jacket off, had to get down the ground, get underneath there, and I had a hatchet in my trunk. So I got out and I thought, well, I'll just take a little swat at that thing and just a little strand of steel holding that on. I couldn't figure out why it didn't break. And anyway, I got out and I was getting aggravated and I took a swat at that crazy thing and my hatchet hit it and glanced off and went right through the gas tank. You won't believe it. Gas began to pour out all over. Well, to make a long story short, what my tithing money was by the time I got my gas tank fixed and got that repaired, it was exactly double, almost to the penny, of what my tithing money would have been. I said, Lord, I get the hint, you know. And there are things that God wants us to use for Him, whether it be our finances, whether it be our talents as far as speaking for Him or what. And I'll tell you this, when you decide to cheat on the Lord, I'll tell you what, He's going to cheat on you in this respect. He's not going to give you the blessings that you would have had if you'll dedicate yourself to Him and say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to do what You want me to do. I told my wife, I said, boy, oh boy, I tell you, the only reason the Lord did this for me to use, I ever get in the ministry, to use this for an illustration, because I never seen anything come out so perfect in my life. I said, Lord, from now on, my tithing goes into the church as long as I'm in that church, and I'm going to have to trust You when I get down into Bible college in order to pay the way down there. But the Lord interceded. He would not let me. I had to learn a lesson. He would not let me go ahead and do that. Now, we find in verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Now, I want to digress just a second here and go on over, because we're going to find out why, and I think it's important to find out why that Jonah fled from the Lord. What was he thinking about? Did he have some resentment? Why would he not go to Nineveh and just go ahead and do what the Lord wanted him to do? So let's take just a second here, and let's go on over here to the fourth chapter here, and we find out the confession of Jonah. Now, we're jumping ahead here just a little bit, because we want to know why Jonah did not go to Nineveh. Now, let's go here to chapter 4 and verses 1 to 3. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of this evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. You can get so depressed when you're not serving the Lord that you almost can get to the point of suicide, even for a Christian. But the thing was, he knew that God would forgive Nineveh, who was an enemy of the Jewish people, the Assyrians. That was the capital of the Assyrian people. And yet, he did not want God to forgive Assyria. He just wanted them to be destroyed. He hated them. And the deep-seated thing in Jonah's heart, the reason he did not want to go to Nineveh or to his enemies, was that he hated them. And he should not have had that kind of an attitude as a Christian. Now, you know something? I'm going to say this for your own Christian life, because I think there's a tremendous principle involved here. It's interesting to know why Jonah did not go to Nineveh, and the reason was he knew God would forgive him. He hated those people, and as long as he had those hate, he did not want to take a chance of them getting saved and that city being spared. He had that kind of animosity, that kind of hate in his heart, that he was not going to go there and even take a chance, because he knew God would forgive that city if they would change their mind about the Lord. Now, let me say this practically to you and that are listening. One thing that will destroy your life. Now, I'm saying actually two things. One thing internal, the other thing external. Internally, I've seen more Christians destroyed because they hold resentment against people, and they will not forgive somebody else for something they've done. And they actually deep-seated, oh, they may act nice on the outside, but deep down within their heart, they're thinking, boy, I hope that person falls. Boy, I hope that person, something bad happens to them. Now, they won't say that on the outside. Jonah was forced into this, to be honest with the Lord, because he was at the point, it ate him up so bad, and the Lord was interfering in his life to get him to serve him, that he was at the point of committing suicide. And that happens to a lot of people. Believe it or not, it can happen to a Christian. You get running from the Lord so far, you get accusing people for the wrong things, you hold hatred in your heart as a Christian now, I'm speaking as a Christian, and it will tear you up and destroy your life. I know I was in the store here not long ago, and we had once in a while, we were running somebody that left our church. And I tell you, I have never, after 3.5 years, seen such hatred in a person. I passed the person. I finally stepped out to the end of the aisle, and I was going to make them speak and said, how are you? And the hatred, just the hatred. And you find that sometimes when the person who will leave the church, whether it be a friend that you have animosity against, this just happened to be somebody that left our church about 3 years, over 3 years ago. I've never seen something. I thought, You know what? That person with that attitude will never win anybody to Christ. Just going through the motions. And I'm not saying this attacking them. I'm saying the sad thing, I've seen this in 12 to 15 years being a pastor, I've seen it destroy people because they will hold that kind of hatred and hatred just deep down, just like Jonah did, and they're not going to witness. They have no happiness in their life, but yet they go to church and go through the motions and so forth on the outside, but inside they're as dead as a doornail. Their life shows it. Now, you might be a Christian in that kind of a condition. It'll destroy you. And until you're willing to forgive someone else, and until you're willing to do what God wants you to do, you're going to find out there's going to be a lot of things in your life that are not going to work out. You're going to be one of the most miserable people on the face of the earth. But praise God that He has patience with us. Praise the Lord that He has understanding with us, and He wants you. Maybe you're in that condition. Maybe you're in that same mental attitude as Jonah was. You know what? If you'll turn to the Lord, ask Him to forgive you and get those feelings out of you, then you can serve the Lord with happiness, not because you're forced into it, but you'll have all that animosity out of you. You can forgive people. You can go on and use your life to be fruitful for the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll bless you for it. And after all, that's all He wants you to do, is to put Him first, and He'll give you the desires of your life. Well, I see our time's gone. We hope you'll take just a moment and sit down and write us. We're always glad to hear from you. Until next week, may the truth of God's Word keep marching on.